Welcome to the Sermon Archive of First Alliance Church, located in Lexington, Kentucky. This message was delivered September 8, 2019, by our senior pastor, Paul Smith. Today's message is the conclusion of the series, Jonah, Unstoppable Grace. May your spiritual journey be enriched by the hearing of this word.
We are wrapping up the book of Jonah, and the series has been called Unstoppable Grace. And I want you to let you know for this series, I have no notes. No notes, okay? For this particular sermon, I have no notes. Case in point, all right? I just have pictures. So what you see behind me is what I have because our printer wasn't working this morning. So if I kind of go that way, you understand why, all right? Now, in this series, we looked at the life of Jonah. Jonah got a call from God to go to Nineveh, and being a Hebrew, he hated the Ninevites, and as the maps show, he went to Tarshish. He ran from God, and in this series, we saw a connection with Jonah. It is this: God speaks, and sometimes we don't like what he says, and we can run from what God wants us to do, and we all will have that internal battle of obeying and submitting God speaking to us in our lives. And because of that, there's this phrase called, I am Jonah, meaning that God's speaking, he's doing a work in our lives, and will we submit? And when we don't, he comes in our lives, and he works in our lives to that point where we can trust him. But also, this phrase, I am Jonah, is not just a negative, but it also can be a positive, because in spite of that, God shows grace, and God uses Jonah. He does go to Nineveh. He does preach, and there's a revival that happens in Nineveh, and 120,000 people turn to God. It's great possibility that we said, I am Jonah, that God can use us, even in times of failure and even in times of struggle. We can be used. Now, Jonah speaks to us personally, but I thought about this. What about collectively? Before we leave the book, what about us as a church? What might God be saying to us? I put it like this. God, what message does Jonah have for us, FAC? You see, there's no one sermon series that just turns the life of a church. Link by link, sermon by sermon series, the church begins to change and God's will begins to be part of its culture. So what might God have for us? Three things specifically. Three things I just want to point out, and I'm going to ask you to think these things through before we leave, and I'm going to ask for your participation along the way. Now, the first thing comes from Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. And this is what God says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Let's stop there. The missionary heart of God is revealed right in the beginning of the book. The missionary heart of God is revealed in the Old Testament, that God sees a people without his love and grace, and he wants to reach them. You see, there's another time when the Son of God said this almost the same thing. In Matthew 28, Jesus speaking to his disciples, foundational truth of the church, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore what? Go, wherever you go, I'm in charge. Jesus is saying, therefore, as my disciples, go and make disciples. Go. The missionary heart of God being revealed once again, specifically to his church. Now, we've talked about up in worship, commit to a worship service. We've talked about in, move towards each other in groups. But also, as it comes up there, talk about out. You see, in the life of a church, that you have to have up, in, and out. Now, specifically the point under this that I went too fast over is this, because I don't have notes. Here it is. God is on mission. God is on mission to reach spiritually lost people, and he's called the spiritually found people to join him. You see, God is on mission to reach spiritually lost people, and he's called the spiritually found people to join him. Therefore, up, in, and out. You see, this changes how we see our city. This is how we see our neighborhood around our church. This isn't just an apartment complex that just is akin to us. These are people that should burden our hearts. And this changes your neighborhood. This changes how we see our city. This changes our work environment. This changes, not Youth UK is not just a place where you get an education. If you're there, God's placed you there. And if you know God's love, he has a heart for those who don't know his love. You see, God wants to reach spiritually lost people, and he's using spiritually found people to reach them. Now, this is the heartbeat of us as a denomination. You see, our denomination started in New York City, and the churches were just kind of clustered up together. And there was a gentleman called A.B. Simpson, and he saw that the churches weren't reaching people. And so he just said, you know, things got to change. And so he's kind of a band of people came together, and they eventually met in a church called the Gospel Tabernacle that's now a pizza parlor, but that's okay. Our heartbeat is to reach people. That's who we are. It's what we do. It's our heritage, and it will be expressed in new ways going forward. You see, God's mission is to reach spiritually lost people. We have to remember that. And he uses spiritually found people to reach them. And our goal is that everybody plays a part in that very unique way going forward. Now, that's the first principle. The second principle comes from all of these great experiences that we've read about in the book of Jonah. I mean, Jonah gets vomited up on the beach by a whale. I mean, that holds the attention of a 2-year-old or an 82-year-old. It's wonderful experiences that Jonah has that we're glad he had them that we didn't. Okay? There's this other experience where he's under a plant and he argues with God. He goes full toddler on God because he's just mad that the Ninevites have been reached with God's love. You see, what do these experiences teach us? God is actively working in Jonah's life. He says, go to Nineveh, and God will not let Jonah go. What is he teaching Jonah, and what is he teaching us? And it's this. Engaging in God's mission in the world works on the inside of me. You see, when the Ninevites are reached, it's not the story's over. God still has more work to do, and the work that God wants to do is in the heart of Jonah. And what we learn is there's some experiences that God wants us to engage in, not for just out there, but for in here, for our hearts. And when we engage in mission and the work of God, it gets on the inside of us and teaches us lessons about our hearts that classrooms could never teach us. You see, and this is all throughout the scriptures. You see, the nation of Israel is released from the bondage of Egypt, but it's 40 years until they enter the promised land. Why? Though they're out of Egypt, Egypt is not out of them. And we can become Christians. But all of a sudden, God's got to go and work in our hearts. And when we engage in mission, that activity happens. Peter, in the book of Acts, he's fully engaged in God's mission in the world. But in Acts chapter 10, we see that he's still struggling with God loving the Gentiles and them being embraced in the community of God. And there's a very important lesson that God wants all peoples, tribes, and nations to be one around his gospel. You see, engaging in God's mission, when you say yes to God's mission in the world, it will work on the inside of you in a deeper way, in a more profound way, often that a class never could. You see, there's this wonderful verse in Philemon, chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul writes this, I pray that you will be active in a way that you can be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every spiritual blessing that is ours in Christ Jesus. You're dependent upon the Holy Spirit. You're dependent upon his wisdom. You're dependent upon his power. And we gain this full understanding of every spiritual blessing because we've said yes to that next step that God wants us to do. Now, the next one comes from chapter 4, verse 11. Flip over to chapter 4, verse 11. And it's this interesting statement that about 3 people asked me about last week. And it's a statement that God says to Jonah. And it's verse 11, chapter 4. But Nineveh, God speaking to Jonah and why he wants to save the Ninevites. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. Meaning they're morally just very beginners. And many what? Cattle. Moo-moos. As well. should I not be concerned about that great city? Why did he mention the cattle? Of course he'd mention people. We get that. But why did he mention the cattle? Well, one of the things you have to understand is that cattle back then was a kind of the staple and the foundation of the economic system. It was the staple and the foundation for their way of life. And what God is saying is, I'm concerned about their lives, and I'm also concerned about their state of their well-being. Here's the last principle. May we never forget that God is concerned about the spiritually lost people being found, and he is concerned about the state of people's lives. He's concerned about the state of their lives as well. And he expresses this, not just in the book of Jonah, but he expresses this all throughout the Bible. One time in the book of Isaiah 58, the people are calling upon God, why don't you speak? Why don't you communicate? And this is what he says to them about the fast. Is this not the kind of fast I have chosen? Says, if you're going to fast and worship, this is what I want. Loosen the chains of injustice. He gets very practical. Untie the cords of the yoke. Set the oppressed free. Break every yoke. Is this not to share your food with the hungry, to provide for the poor, the wanderer, and the sheltered? When you see the naked, clothe them. Is this not what I want? Yes, I'm concerned about the spiritually lost being found, but I'm concerned about the state of people's lives as well. Jesus says this in Matthew 25 with the sheep and the goats, about the practical realities that Christianity meets on a daily basis. Look at what he says. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the King Jesus will reply, truly, whatever you did for the least of these of my brethren, you did it for me. You did it for me. And James says this, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is useless. The body without the spirit is dead. So faith without deeds is dead. Why would that be? Because God is concerned about the spiritually lost being found, and he's concerned about the state of people's lives. And in the church, we often get way on one side or way on the other side. Well, God says, I'm big enough to do both and will use both in my mission in the world. So let's get practical. How does this actually work its way out? Okay. How many of you remember a thing called show and tell in school? How many of you remember that? Show of hands, okay? Or when you grow up, you realize it was really bring and brag, okay? Bring what you have, brag about it, see if you're the winner. You're the winner, okay? Rocket ships, video games. I'm old enough to remember when Jason Milligan brought his dad's shotgun. He definitely won. We don't know if his dad knew about it, but we all remembered it, okay? I definitely remember that. Now, when it comes to your part in out, the scripture talks about show and tell, how they work together. Now, listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. Let your light, so light, shine before men that they may see your good what? Works, your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. Some of us love that, but some of us love 1 Peter 3:5. Always be prepared to give an answer for everyone who asks for the hope, for the reason for the hope that you have. Both verses apply to every one of us. Now, some of us, we love the good works aspect. We're all in. Show me how I can help people. Some of us, we're communicative. We love to speak. We love to talk about our faith. Now, I'm going to ask for your help here. If you are a shower, your preference is to show, to do, to help. Would you stand, if you're able? Okay, wow, that was about the same as first service. About 80 to 90% of us. Okay, good, all right. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Go ahead and have a seat. Your ministry is absolutely important. I love the way God has made you. The world needs to see Jesus' love in a very practical way. We can learn from you. Now, if you're a teller, you love to tell. You like to communicate. You like to explain. You love to lead people to faith in Jesus Christ. Would you please stand? Okay. All right. All right. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for how God has wired you for that, okay? We're a little outnumbered, but that's okay, all right? All right, now here's what I want to talk to both groups. For you who are tellers, and the rest of you can listen in, remember what Jesus says in Luke chapter 9. He says this, I sent you, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and to what? Heal the sick. And this verse has marked my life because, yes, go preach, but I've also sent you to heal. Meaning when you see a need, and you can meet that need, meet that need. You see, because here's why. Tellers, we need to find practical and tangible ways to show concern for the state of people's lives. If we don't make room for that, there's an aspect of the gospel we will miss out on. You see, I know one individual, he has found as many people that he can to mow their grass for in our neighborhood. And I just thought, okay, that's just a really practical way to show the love of God to another person. I know one individual, every Christmas they have a cookie and coffee connection. They invite everybody in their neighborhood and specifically pray for those that are unbelievers, and they just have a simple cookie and coffee just to get to know one another, and maybe God can use it. One individual has heard from the Lexington Leadership Foundation that there are a number of men who get released from the prison system every year, and they don't have any friends. And he's just made himself available just to be a friend to a person, just to walk him through how to get, a driver's license and how to this. And it's just a practical way. And each one have said, you know what, this has made me stronger, and this has made me better, and I'm just glad I'm doing it. So tellers, find a practical way to show God's love. Now showers, a couple things. Jesus said in Romans chapter 10, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? You've got to hear. And how shall they hear without a preacher or a communicator? They've got to hear the gospel to understand it. Now, this is what I absolutely know. Believe it with all my heart. If we don't open our mouths to say something, they could arrive to wrong conclusions about our motives. When the mind lacks information, it will fill in the gap. And there's a high possibility it will fill in the gap with the wrong thing. And this happens in the scriptures. In Acts chapter 2, the church is birthed, God's doing something amazing, and the people wonder what it is, and they said, well, these people are drunk. They're like, no, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. And Peter stands up and communicates clearly what God's doing. If not, they'll get it wrong. Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas come into a town and they do miracles. And the people deduct, they fill in the gap, these must be Greek gods that have come to life. Paul and Barnabas know. They open their mouths and to clearly communicate what God is doing and the motives for which they do it. You see, if we don't open our mouths, if we don't say something, and that can be really hard, people will come to the wrong conclusions. So showers, here's a simple assignment. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself and pray for an opportunity to share your faith. Prepare yourself with a simple testimony of what God has done in your life. Simple verses that you would have on hand, how somebody could come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. I know one individual kept a gospel track in their back pocket. My wife keeps a gospel track in her purse. And a simple thing that you can do is go to this class that's coming up at 9:30 about how to be missionally effective in the state of this world. Just a simple thing to prepare yourself and pray for opportunities to share your faith so you can have a full understanding of every spiritual blessing that is ours in Christ Jesus. Now, as we end this message, how has the book of Jonah challenged you? How has it challenged you? And let me share with you how it's challenged me. In chapter 3, Jonah comes and preaches to a godless city. And it's not about the preacher. And it's not even about the message. But the whole book of Jonah is about the God of this book. And the God of this messenger. And the God of this city. And do you know what I see in chapter 3? I see a whole city at peace with God. And I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine a city at peace with God. That's how this book has challenged me. God has said, I've done it before. It's my heart to have people know my saving love. It's my heart to have the spiritually found reach the spiritually lost. It's my heart to care not only for the eternal destiny of people's lives, but also to be concerned about the state of their lives. And I know what the gospel is that God's heart becomes our heart a little bit more each day. We become more like Jesus a little bit more each day. And I want you to imagine a city at peace with God, one heart, one life at a time. And the world saying, your God, the God that you preach, the God that you worship, he is true, and I want to know him. Let's be that church, amen? Let's be that church. So Zeke, come on up. And Zeke's going to lead us in worship. And just take a second. And how has Jonah, the book of Jonah, God communicating his heart in Jonah challenged you? What do you need to surrender? Jonah took all of the good news of God and kept him for himself. And maybe God is saying, I want you to tell. And God is saying, I want you to show. When Jonah surrenders, he wins. It's really a book that calls us to surrender. And so God, may that be us for your glory and your fame. And the church said together, amen. Let's stand together as we worship.